This is episode number 11 with sales trainer extraordinaire and Mr. Iron Man himself, Jack Daly. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, where it's my mission to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners take control of their lives and create freedom for themselves through business ownership. Each episode, I'll be exploring the strategies and tactics of other successful entrepreneurs that have created freedom in their own lives while sharing what I'm learning along my own path to freedom. I'm glad you're here. Let's drop in. My guest this episode is Jack Daly. If you're not familiar with Jack, get familiar with him. Or as he would say, get jacked. Jack Daly is an experienced and inspirational sales trainer and business coaching expert. Jack's a proven CEO and entrepreneur, having built six companies into national firms, two of which he has subsequently sold to Wall Street firms. Today, Jack is one of the most recognized authors, speakers, and sales coaches in the world. His books include Hyper Sales Growth, The Sales Playbook for Hyper Sales Growth, and Paper Napkin Wisdom, all of which are Amazon number one bestsellers. And if traveling the globe, speaking, coaching, and writing books doesn't keep him busy enough, Jack is also an Ironman on five continents and has completed 95 marathons in over 50 states. I've had the privilege of hearing Jack speak, and I've received his coaching, and I can tell you he's had a gigantic impact on me and my career. Every time I speak with Jack or interact with him at all, he lights a fire under me, and I can't wait to implement his advice. And my conversation with him here is no different. It's a privilege and an honor to have him join me on the podcast. So let's go ahead and drop in with Jack Daly. Jack Daly, what's up, man? How you doing?
I am fantastic. 2 weeks ago, got the word 100% cancer-free from malignant melanoma. Couldn't be better.
Well, that's fantastic news. We were talking, you know, offline before we started recording, and you were sharing that with me, and I can't tell you how excited I am to hear that you're in the clear. So that is fantastic news. I know it's going to take a lot more than a tumor to hold Jack Daly down. So look, I really appreciate you dropping into the Path to Freedom podcast with me today. I know this is going to be an exciting conversation, and everyone listening in is going to get a ton of value from it. So really appreciate you. And before we dive in, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you and thank you for the impact that you've had on me. You know, I've had the privilege of hearing you speak in person at some of our Shelf Genie conferences. I've read your books. I've, you know, been a follower of you for years now, and you've had a huge impact on me and my career. So I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do. You're a huge inspiration.
Wes, I love working with people that take action, and you are a take action guy.
Well, you make it hard not to take action. You sit in a room and listen to you speak for an hour or so. It's pretty hard not to go out and take some action. So again, thank you. But you know, for those not maybe as familiar with you, maybe give us kind of the 30,000 foot view of who Jack Daly is, what you're all about, and kind of how you've gotten to where you are today.
Yeah, so as succinctly as I can make it. So I started selling at the age of 7 years old. Yeah. On the market, charged twice the price of every kid I competed with. Then at 12, I started a newspaper route and grew it in 1 year to 275 customers. Wow. Didn't want to deliver the papers. And so I hired five kids to deliver the papers so I could grow it even more. I then went to school formally and got educated. And between the ages of 26 and 46 years old, I built six companies from scratch into national firms, sold a couple to Wall Street, and then at 46 years old, I lost my passion for what I was doing. And a piece of advice to the listeners is, if you're not passionate about what you do, go pursue your passion and the rest will take care of itself. So I ended up taking a year off to figure out what I wanted to do in life. And then the phone rang and people were saying, could you tell your story at our conferences? And yeah. All of a sudden I backed into the speaking business, which I've been in for 25 years and absolutely love it.
Well, you're a fantastic speaker. You bring a ton of energy to the room when you are speaking, and a lot of real world experience, you know, which to me is always the best way to learn. You know, you teach through stories and examples, you know, of how you've actually accomplished amazing things in your life and your career. And it's a fantastic story. So we're going to link your website and some of the videos and other information that you have out there in the show notes. So everyone listening in can go and you know, see some more of the content that you put out, because it really is fantastic. And so
I would underscore on that unlike a lot of other people, the website that I have at jackdailysales.com is loaded with a ton of free stuff.
It is.
Whether it's video or whether it's material that you can print or watch on your computer, download. We just want to make a difference out there with salespeople, sales managers, entrepreneurs, and business owners.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many good resources on your website, and you know, for free. So it's a fantastic opportunity for people to really dig in and learn from your experience and everything that you talk about. So you know, on that note, let's talk about sales. I mean, that's a big part of why I was excited to have you come on the podcast, because you know, as you know, I work with a lot of people that are considering getting into business for themselves. They haven't quite yet taken that leap. I also work with people that are already in business for themselves, and they're really looking to, you know, grow their businesses to that next level, or maybe even expand by adding other businesses into their portfolio. And one of the common, you know, questions or concerns I get when working with people is, you know, hey Wes, I don't really consider myself a salesperson. I don't have a background in sales, and you know, so I'd like to try to find a business that's not very sales intensive. And you know just as well as I do, if you're in business, you're selling, right? Regardless of what the business does. Now, some businesses may be more sales intensive than others, but as a business owner, you're selling something, and you've got to get comfortable with that notion. So, you know, talk a little bit about what advice you might give to someone in that position, doesn't really view themselves as a salesperson, but they want to get into business for themselves.
Yeah, so I'm going to answer that specifically, but before I do it, given that the way you describe your public on your program here, let me give a first piece of advice that's unrelated to the question, and okay. That is, if I were to recommend a single book for an aspiring entrepreneur or a new entrepreneur, it would be The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Yes.
I consider it the quintessential Bible for anybody that's going to be getting into business, right? Now,
absolutely.
From a selling standpoint, with your question, the best news I can give people that think of themselves not as salespeople is they're probably thinking of salespeople as that characterization of the used car sales guy.
Yep.
Well, I've been a sales guy since I was 7, but I don't sell. I make a difference in the way I define selling, and that is, help people to buy. People do not want to be sold.
Right.
No one wants someone trying to sell them something. So if you're not comfortable doing that, that's great. You have an advantage, because all you need to do to be a great salesperson is really care about the customer, care about the prospect more than the sale. Because if you can find the pain that a customer is in, if you can find a way to help them put a smile on their face, they will buy your product or service. So the key to effective selling is listening rather than presenting.
Yes.
I was on a 9-city tour last year in India, and it took me about 3 weeks to make it through. Every stop I made to entrepreneurs, guys would come up to me before and say, are you going to teach us some good pitches today? And I'm going, I'm going to do something better than that. You know what I'm going to teach you? Quit pitching.
Right.
Help people to buy. So that's the key, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest points I try to get across to people when I'm working with them through this process is, you know, part of selecting the right business, because I deal a lot with franchises, right? So they're evaluating different franchise models. And, you know, so part of selecting the right business is, you know, let's find something that you can actually get excited about and that, you know, you feel truly adds value to the clients that you're working with, whether it's a product or a service. And if you find the right business, then it's not really selling in the traditional form that, as you mentioned, so many people think about sales in. You're really problem solving, right? And if you're solving problems for people and really adding value, you're definitely not pitching, and you certainly shouldn't find yourself where you feel like you're having to hard sell or quote unquote close someone.
Yeah, you know, here's the deal. People can tell if you're passionate about your product and service and you have faith and confidence and you are genuinely into it. Yep. On the opposite side, people can tell the people that are not into it and are just peddling and it's just a job. When yeah. you've got passion about your product or service, the rest of it's easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing I really try to hammer home with people that I'm working with is, look, even if you don't necessarily feel comfortable in that sales role, you know, most of the people that I'm working with, they're looking to get into business so that they can build something bigger than just themselves, right? So if they're doing it right, they should be working on their business, not in their business. So then they're looking at recruiting people that can go out and handle sales for them. So, you know, what advice would you give to a business owner or an aspiring business owner when it comes to, you know, recruiting good talent when it comes to sales and really creating a great sales culture within their organization, whether it's a very small business or a larger business?
You know, I started this practice, Wes, when I was 13 years old. And at 13 years old, I interviewed 200 successful business people. I spent at least 4 hours with each one of them. And wow. I wanted to know how they became successful and what they would tell a 13-year-old that wanted to be a successful business owner. And so I'm going to take that same lesson where I learned a tremendous amount of all the things that I've done in my life. And now I'm standing here right now at 71 years old. And I'm telling you, at 13, that exercise I've done my whole life.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I call it. Model the masters. Find people that already are successful at what you want to do. Find people that are really good at what they do and interview them and ride shotgun with them and match them and mirror them and develop systems and processes that are consistent with what their system is. The beauty of a franchise in many cases is the system and process has been designed.
That's
when
right.
I go and work with my franchise clients, the franchisees that are the most successful follow the systems and processes.
Absolutely.
The entrepreneurs that buy into a franchise as a franchisee and then say, yeah, but I got my own style and I'm going to kind of do it this way and that way, I don't understand why you're even a franchisee.
I know.
Just go into business then, right?
The
system for success has been built. Follow the system.
Absolutely. I've been in franchising for a long time and it still blows my mind how some people will invest in a franchise business and then just throw the system to the wind, you know, almost right out of the gate. And
right.
And that's a big part of the investigative process that I coach people through, right, is learning about the systems and processes that the franchisor has in place, and then also interviewing other franchisees, especially top-performing franchisees, and then modeling after them, learning what they've done to be successful. And then part of it's looking at yourself and saying, all right, am I likely to approach this business in the same way as these top performers? Because I also recommend, you know, talk to some of the underperformers in the system. You can learn a lot from talking to them as well. You'll probably learn more what not to do, right? But, sure. You know, am I more likely to approach this business like the people I talk to that are not performing very well or the people that are knocking it out of the park?
Hey, listen, on YouTube, you can subscribe to me, right? And I've got like 300 or more videos. They're little vignettes. They're 2-3 minute type things.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I address in one of those videos is, what's the number one criteria? What's the attribute that you're looking for in a successful salesperson, right? And here is the answer. G-R-I-T, grit.
Yeah.
And my video is done in London, right across from Big Ben. And there's a big statue of Winston Churchill. And I've got him overlooking my shoulder. And I said, never, ever give up. That's the key.
Yes.
No matter how times you fall down, you got to get back up again. That's the difference between the top quartile and the bottom quartile performers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, speaking of your videos, I was watching one a couple days ago when I was kind of preparing for this interview, and I thought it would be really relevant to maybe talk about here today. And it's a video where you kind of go through 7 different lessons, you know, that people should incorporate when it comes to accomplishing their goals in general. Can you expand on that a little bit more? The first one was, you know, talking about really having a vision.
Yeah. So, you know, I typically talk about it as being the 7 lessons that I learned in getting to be an Ironman, right?
Right. Yeah.
And,
yep.
And so I started with that I had this vision. I don't think that you can really build a successful business until you define what a successful business is.
Yes.
I have built 6 from scratch, right? But you can't get there if you don't know what there is. And if you can strike a compelling, magnetic, exciting vision, this is what it's going to look like when I'm done. If you can, here's some advice. Paint a picture. I do CEO coaching, right? One-on-one. Yep. What I'm trying to convey to my clients is, I can't help you be more successful if I don't know what success is.
Absolutely.
What's the company going to look like in 3 years? What's the company going to look like in 5? And I ask them to draw it for me, right? How many salespeople are you going to have? How many locations are you going to have? What's the revenue going to be? What's the units going to be? What's the margin going to be? What's the profit going to be? If you don't have those types of visions, then I don't know how you march towards it, right? That's lesson one.
Yep.
If you want, I'll just run through those 7 lessons. If that's okay.
Absolutely. Right? Let's do it. Yeah.
The second lesson is, once you understand what the vision is, then you need a playbook. The systems and processes that will naturally get you in the most efficient and effective fashion to that vision.
Yeah.
Another word for that might be best practices.
Yeah.
I wrote a Amazon number one best-selling business book called Hyper Sales Growth. And when I wrote it, it was a worldwide success, and people were calling me like crazy saying, I want you to help me grow, right? And I'd say, great, send me your sales playbook so I know how you currently do things, and then I'll build you the next level. And 98 out of 100 companies didn't have
playbook. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you need to have the systems and processes. The next thing that we need to do, the third lesson that I learned, is when I was doing the Ironman, is you got to practice. It's a swim, it's a bike, and it's a run, and they're long distances. 2.4-mile swim, 100. You can't show up on race day and not have practice, right?
Yeah.
It requires a lot of practice. Going and want to be good at anything, you practice.
No doubt.
The fourth lesson I learned is measure, measure, measure. Things that get measured get done. And so a measurement system. And if you go to my website, jackdailysales.com, and you've been in my live sessions where I hold up my book and show you all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
the fifth lesson, I'm just going to run the table, right?
That's fine.
Fifth lesson is that having a coach, someone that holds you accountable. And I will tell your audience, today, I'm sitting here with 14 coaches helping me be more successful. I have 5 on my personal goals. I have 3 on my business goals. And I have 6 on my triathlon sport. I have a swim coach, a bike coach, a run coach, an overall triathlon coach, a nutritionist coach, and a strength coach. This guy at 71 years old has 14 coaches. If you don't have a coach, what the hell are you doing, right?
Absolutely.
So that's number 5. The 6th lesson is taking care of yourself physically. Because if you do, you can work longer hours, smarter hours. And here's the best thing of all, you can handle stress better. And you can handle rejection better if you are better in shape physically. And then the last one of 7 is what goes on inside the 6 inches between our ears.
Yep.
50% or more of success is having a positive attitude.
It's all about mindset. I mean, and that's for me probably been the single biggest thing that I've realized to prioritize over the last few years. And what I've been able to accomplish in that period has just been, you know, leaps and bounds compared to what I was accomplishing before. I even have a short episode of this podcast that goes out every Monday called Mindset Monday, which is just, you know, all about different things that you can do to strengthen your mindset. And, you know, especially when it comes to sales, right? I mean, you said the number one attribute you're looking for in a salesperson is grit. You know, you take better care of yourself physically and you work on your mindset, that's going to contribute to better grit, right? I mean, they all kind of go hand in hand. And I was going to give you a really quick plug here. I've got the sales playbook here that you did. This book has been hugely instrumental for me. I first got this and kind of went through it when I first went to Shelf Genie to take over their franchise sales. And I used it to build the system that we use there. We ended up having several record years in a row at Shelf Genie in terms of adding new franchisees. I went through it again when I started my consulting business, and it's just been huge. So I would highly recommend anyone listening in, go get the sales playbook, read Hyper Sales Growth first, and then use this to actually start putting pen to paper and get yourself a good system in place.
Hey, Wes, I really appreciate you mentioning the book. I will also tell your listeners and viewers, Hyper Sales Growth is on audio if you're not into reading.
Yep.
And it's my voice. And it's a much easier read than the sales playbook you held up. We designed the sales playbook to be a textbook. It's heavy duty, right?
It's work, for sure. It's work. But if you put in the work, you'll get a ton out of it. And, you know, like I said, for me, I've come back to it numerous times. So it's the type of thing that I can keep revisiting. And it's been incredibly helpful for me. So, but let's unpack a couple of these things, these seven lessons that you talked about, one of which is the practice piece. Right. So what are some real life examples of how someone can go about practicing getting better at sales, whatever it is they're selling?
Yeah. So I've got a client that's based in Ohio. They've got about 30 salespeople. And, you know, an awful lot of the guys are working out of their houses today because sure. of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that would be a good reason for people to use as an excuse. Well, how can I practice when I'm home in my office by myself or my bedroom or wherever you're at, right?
Right.
Well, wait a second. This company is putting everybody on Zoom, all 30 of them. They get into groups of three. One person becomes the prospect. One person becomes the salesperson. And one person is the observer. And they physically are role practicing in front of each other.
Yeah.
And then they change hats on a regular basis. The acceptance by the salespeople has been huge, and the results have been significant. Go to anything that you do in life and find somebody that's exceptional at what they do, and you'll find somebody that practices more than the rest. So whether that was Jerry Rice when he was a receiver for the 49ers, or whether it was Michael Jordan when he was playing basketball for the Bulls, it doesn't matter. Take anybody in life, and the guys that beat you badly are the guys that are the best practice.
Absolutely. Well, I've been watching The Last Dance, the documentary that ESPN's airing about Michael Jordan. And I mean, one right. of the recurring themes is that guy put in more hours on the court than anyone else. Like without no one else was even close.
Look at Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, he wins the Masters a year ago, you know, at an older age. And remember when he won his first Masters as a young kid. And, you know, and they ask him, how did you make it back after all the injuries and all the absence? And he's like, I just practiced, man.
That's right. Well, and this is a good segue into the other thing I wanted to talk a little more about, which is a coach, right? All these athletes we're talking about, they had coaches, numerous coaches, right? So, I mean, the best in the world at whatever it is they do, they always have coaches. So, one question that I get sometimes when it comes to coaches, because it's something I always recommend. I've got coaches right now. I've always had great coaches. It's a huge part of any success I've had. Do you recommend, you know, a paid coach or, you know, more of like a mentor or some of both? Or do you think that one gets better results than another versus paying for a coach or just having someone kind of mentoring you?
I don't think it's about the money, Wes. I don't say one's better than another. What you're looking for is someone that can fast track you
yeah.
to where you want to go and that is a good fit for your personal style. As an example, I tell most everybody that contacts me that wants to utilize me as a coach,
yeah.
I tell them straight up, I'm not the right coach for most people
right.
because I'm going to act as if I own your company, run your company. And sometimes you're going to get off the phone with me and say, hey, who is that SOB think he is? I own the company and he's talking to me. And you have every right to do that. I am a demanding, hard guy, doesn't mince around, hits you right between the eyes with it. If that's your style and you would excel at that, that's great. If not, then you need to find another guy, right?
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah, finding someone that's really a good fit and you're going to actually be able to take the coaching and implement it.
Right. When it comes down to paying for somebody and the money, here's the way I look at life. There's no such things as expenses. And everything you should do is measure it in terms of ROI, right? Yeah. And so when I give my fee that I charge to my prospects that are I'm possibly coaching, I say, look, if we don't get at least that money back before the end of the year, then we both fail.
Right.
Can you visualize whatever you're investing in me? Can you visualize that you'll get that kind of a payback? If you can, then there is no expense in terms of the money you pay for a coach.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's an investment, right? I mean, you know, when I was at Shelf Genie doing franchise sales, you know, we had minimums in place that people would have to spend each month for their marketing and advertising. And that would freak some people out. And what you had to get them to understand is it's not an expense. It's an investment.
Right.
We're measuring
right.
ROI. And, you know, the franchisees that are really successful, they were usually spending double, triple the minimums because the ROI was there. It made sense to. They would have been crazy not to. So I think that's a good point.
Let me stop you there for just a second. I have designed my speaking business as a one employee company. I don't want to grow a company anymore, right? So the employee is me. However, I have six personal assistants that do all kinds of things. In setting this podcast up here today, you've dealt with one of my assistants all the way through the process.
Sure did.
I have, and they all work out of their homes. They all do different things. And when my competitors' speakers, they're all doing all this work on their own, and they're saying, "I don't know how you find the time to do your races and to do all the bucket list items and writing his books, and where's the time come from?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not doing all of these kind of things that you're doing that I could hand off to an assistant. That's an investment because the things that
absolutely.
I'm working on are revenue generators, right?"
100%. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've taken away from you in hearing you talk and reading your books is, you know, as a business owner, you should be focusing on revenue generating activities. If where you're spending the majority of your time is not directly correlated to revenue, then you're spending your time in the wrong places.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So guys that are finding time to take their laundry down to the dry cleaners and taking the time to go shop at some store and to go get their supplies at some Office Depot. I there's no way that I'm going to be doing any of that type of stuff.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like in my experience dealing with your assistant setting this up, it was smooth as could be. Right.
Right.
And I think like for me, I know I'm terrible at the administrative type thing. So I have an assistant too, and I don't have six yet, but I've got one and she's very good. And, but she handles the things that not only are not a good use of my time, they're also the things I'm not any good at. Right. So she can knock some of these things out in a fraction of the time that it would take me to do it. And the result's always better than it would be if I was doing it myself. So spot on, it's an investment. And I love that. Wes here. You may have noticed there's a franchising theme to this podcast, and that's because franchising has had a massive impact on my life, and it's the very reason I'm walking my own path to freedom. In fact, one of my companies is a franchise consulting company where I work with people to help them understand franchising and determine if it might be a good fit for them. And if it is something they want to explore, then I help them navigate the entire investigative process and ultimately find a franchise business that's a great match for them. You know, the fact of the matter is there are thousands and thousands of franchise businesses out there today. And like anything, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Even out of the many, many great franchise companies, not every one of them would necessarily be a good fit for you. You know, buying a franchise is a huge decision and you don't want to wing it. I've helped many people buy franchise businesses over the years, and my wife and I have bought and owned franchises today. And we plan to keep investing in franchise businesses. I love helping people understand this process and help them find a business that's going to be a great fit for them and help them accomplish their goals and ultimately create that freedom in their life that we're all looking for. The best part of all of this is that my services are free to the people I work with. And while I do love to contribute to charities and other great causes, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm compensated by the franchise companies I work with when I introduce them to someone that ends up becoming one of their franchisees. It's very similar to real estate, but with franchises. I have the privilege of working with hundreds and hundreds of the best franchise companies out there across practically every industry. So I can be absolutely confident that when I recommend someone to look at a franchise company, I'm introducing them to a very credible and proven company with a solid business model and great support. So if you think you might be interested in learning more about franchising and seeing if it might be right for you, I'd love to speak with you. Get in touch with me by email at wes@path2freedom.com, path2frdm.com. And also check out my website at path2freedom.com, spelled the same way, where I've got a ton of resources, both franchise and non-franchise related, that will help you start down your own path to freedom. And of course, subscribe to and follow the podcast for more great advice about business ownership. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in speaking with me, please share this podcast with them. Thanks for listening to my shameless plug. Now let's drop back into the episode. Give us a little bit of advice on mindset. I mean, some of the things that you've accomplished in your life and your career are amazing. And I want to talk more about those in just a moment. But, you know, what are some of the things that you've learned to do to get your mindset right when it comes to, you know, tackling a huge challenge in front of you, or just, you know, really finding more of that grit that we talked about earlier?
Yeah, so there's so many examples, right? I'm going to give one in the Ironman, and I'm going to go back to a lesson, one of the seven lessons. It starts with vision. So in order to make it to the World Championship Ironman in Kona, Hawaii, you got to win your age group in a prior Ironman race. So I was in Ironman, Arizona, and I came out of the water with a pretty good swim. And so you get on the bike at the next stage, and the bike was 37 miles three times, right? So that's the 112 miles. When I came through the first loop, you went right past the grandstand, and I heard the announcer make this announcement. There goes Jack Daly, comfortably in first in his age group. Basically, he was saying, this guy's on his way to Kona, right?
Right.
This is the mecca of all Ironmans, right?
Yeah.
So it was like he put an engine on my bike. I just went off, right? And I have a photo of me when I'm hearing it that the race officials took. And it's like, you can see the energy pouring out of me. In the next two loops, I had three flat tires. Now, you bring two tubes with you because you're a seasoned athlete, but three flats and two tubes is not a good equation.
No.
And so I had to carry my bike for 2 miles. Then I found a race official to make a phone call to get somebody to come out on a motor scooter with a tube. Then I changed my tire. Now I'm at the back of the pack, way back of the pack. And I finished 112 miles. There's no way that I'm going to get my spot to Kona. And I'm putting my bike in the rack, and I now need to run 26.2 miles. Now, I've done a whole bunch of Ironmans before that, so I don't really need to do an Ironman finish. I'm already an Ironman, right?
Right, and you knew you weren't going to win at that point.
I don't have the shot at the world championship. And I thought, man, maybe I should just pack it in and go get myself a burger and a beer.
Yeah,
and sure. I'm like, no, man. You just because you got knocked down, you need to finish this race. You start what you finish what you started. And my vision was to cross the finish line. And here, Jack Daly, you are an Ironman. And so I spent another 5 hours and change out there running 26.2 miles to finish in the dark with another Ironman. It's all about not how many times you fall. It's about getting back up again.
And it was that vision of you crossing the finish line and completing it that kept you going, even when, you know, your mind was kind of saying, look, you don't really have to do this. You could call it right now.
Look, let me show it to you in a business context, Wes. So I built a half a dozen businesses. And one of them in 1998 was the 10th fastest growing privately held company in the U.S., recognized by Inc. Magazine, and was honored as Entrepreneur of the Year from Ernst & Young. That's really good stuff if you're a speaker to say, right?
Sure.
But here's the inside piece. In less than a year after we were honored like that, I stood in front of 275 people and let 240 of them go in a single day. There was absolute train wreck in the industry, and I had to immediately downsize the business. I went from making $1 million a month to losing $1 million a month in profits, went into losses, and I could have just shut the whole thing down, and I decided that we'll rebuild it, but we got to downsize and rebuild again. Today, that company is bigger than it was at the point that it was the 10th fastest growing in the U.S.
Wow.
Grit. It's never, ever give up. Do what you say you're going to do, when you say you're going to do it, whether you want to or not. That's it. Self-discipline.
Well, I'm doing a personal challenge right now. It's part physical, part mental, and it's called the 75 Hard Challenge. And so basically, every day for 75 days straight, you follow the same kind of program. It's two workouts a day, 45 minutes each, and one of them has to be outside, regardless of the weather. So, I mean, I've been working out at 11:30 at night. I've been working out in the pouring down rain, and I'm only halfway through it, right? So there's a long way to go, and there's going to be harder times ahead of me, I think, than what I've gone through right now. But the biggest thing it's teaching me so far is simply to not negotiate with myself, right? I've set a goal, and I'm visioning that 76th day when I've done this program for 75 days straight and how good that's going to feel. And that's what I keep coming back to, is that vision on the hard days when the last thing I feel like doing is another workout. And there's several other components to the program. You know, there's like five or six things you have to do every single day. But that's, I think, the biggest lesson I'm getting from it so far is just don't negotiate with yourself. You know,
absolutely. And by the way, just an ask on my part, send me an email or the link or whatever to the program. I'd like to take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you as a follow-up. It's pretty cool. And, you know, like I said, like physically, it's challenging, and you'll see physical results if you do it. But more than anything, it's a mental toughness challenge, and it'll help you really, you know, develop a stronger mindset. So I'll definitely send it to you. So, no, I think that was really good. I love those seven lessons and talking through those a little bit more. One of the other things I wanted to get into with you while I have you is this concept that you talk a lot about. You refer to it as life by design, right? And I mean, you've referenced a couple times, you're an Ironman, right? I mean, you've done races all over the world. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you didn't start training for Ironmans until you were like in your late 50s, and you didn't even know how to swim at the time?
Yeah, 58 years old, I did not know how to swim. Between 58 and 66, I completed 15 full Ironmans and about 60 triathlons. Yeah, it's crazy.
So so talk about that and how it kind of falls into this concept of life by design that I know you talk a lot about.
Yeah, so you're not aware of this, so this is news to you, but since I've been in lockdown for the last 60 days with COVID, I decided that the book I was going to write next year, I might as well write now. Right?
There you go.
So
I love it.
Here is my first draft of a book that I was going to write next year. I sent it to my publisher, and he said, when this is released, this will be the most impactful book of all 10 that you've written. Right?
Wow.
And
wow.
It's called, get this, the working title is called Life by Design, right?
Love it.
So the backdrop is that at 13 years old, after interviewing 200 successful people, I then learned that one of the most important things you can do is put your goals in writing, not to have too many, put a date when you're going to get them done, and give them to as many people as you can, because that'll put the heat on you, right?
Yeah.
So I came up with four goals at 13. And I put a date on it. When I'm 30 years old, like old, 13.
Yeah, right.
So where, what did I want to look like financially at 30 years old? What did I want my net worth to be? What did I want to be making annually in income? I wrote that down. Then the second goal was, what did I want to look like professionally? What I wrote down was, I want to be the CEO of a company. I want to be the owner, and I want it to be national in size, and I want it to be in the money business. So I wrote that down. In the third box, I put down what I want it to look like education-wise. And what I said is I wanted to have a bachelor's degree in accounting so that it would understand the numbers as a business owner and get a master's degree as well. And then the fourth box was, what did I want my family to look like? Did I want to be single, married? Did I want kids? How many? And I basically said, there's my four pictures of what I'm going to look like financially, professionally, education, and family. Now all I need to do is work backwards to figure out what I need to do between 13 and 14, 14 and 15 in each one of those.
Yep.
Well, what I can tell you is I'm still doing that at 71 years old. And if you go to my website, you will see my goals all printed out of what I want to get done this year. And if you want, you can go to my website and see my bucket list of the over 300 items that I want to get in my life. And it's amazing when you put it out there, Wes, what happens? For example, one of the things on my bucket list was I wanted to fly a jet fighter plane. Now, I get a guy that goes to my website and looks at my bucket list, and he emails me and says, hey, have you gotten the flying a jet fighter plane done yet? And I'm going, no. And he sends me a photo, and he says, I bought this from the U.S. Air Force with qualified. And
what?
He bought a jet fighter plane. So then I said, absolutely. So then we find out when we can get together. He pulls down into the airport in his plane. He taxis up to me. He gets out of the cockpit. He introduces himself to me. I never met him before. And he gives me a helmet. We get into the cockpit. And then we're talking to each other. And he says, hey, so how are you on roller coasters and that kind of thing? And I said, I'm good. And he said, how about some acrobatics? And I said, that sounds great. And we went up and we did barrel rolls and 360s and all of those. And then we leveled the plane out. And he goes, so what do you think? Are you ready? And I'm going, ready? I mean, what else? And he goes, well, you said you wanted to fly it. So there's a toggle in between your legs. Just lightly grab the toggle with a couple fingers in your thumb. And I'm going to pass the controls of the jet over to you.
Wow.
And I flew a jet fighter plane. But people can't help you with your goals if you don't know what they are and if you don't share them with other people. So I've got 75% of my bucket list items done. I have run a marathon in all 50 states. I've played 95 of the top 100 golf courses in the U.S. I have people that come up to me and say, have you played this one? I can get you on. But they can't help if you don't know.
Well, man, that is such a cool story. And had you ever flown a plane of any type before?
No.
That's awesome. But I love that. I mean, if you don't put it out there, number one, no one else is going to really know what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish. And so I think there's definitely an accountability piece that goes with that, right? You're putting it out there. So now there's a little more motivation to actually make it happen. But also,
look, I've got my whole list of 300 plus items. And every year I pick 5 or 10 of them and put them on the list and just say, okay, here's the ones we're going to knock out this year.
And are you still adding items to the list at this point?
Absolutely, all the time.
Yeah.
You know what? You just Google bucket list, and there's like everybody's bucket list in the world is up there. And some of mine are like ridiculously easy. Like kiss someone that you love at the top of a Ferris wheel. Right. Well, that's going to be kind of an easy one to get done, right?
Sure.
But how about carrying the torch in the Olympics?
Wow.
That's on my bucket list. A meeting of President of the United States in the Oval Office.
There you go.
That's on my bucket list. Flying on Air Force One is on my bucket list.
Invite me for that one if that one materializes. I'd love to get on to Air Force One. But no, I mean, so that was something I was actually going to ask you. Like, is there too big of a goal to put on your bucket list? It sounds like for you, there's not.
Well, look, if it doesn't get done, what's it matter? But right. But who would have thought that I would fly a jet fighter plane?
Well, and if you don't put it out there, you're pretty much guaranteeing that it won't get done. So I think by putting it out there, you're giving it. Because, you know, I think there's definitely something to, you know, visualization and, you know, in some form or fashion, almost being able to kind of manifest, you know, things that you want to happen in your life. And it's obviously going to require work on your part, but the first part of it is just, I mean, first and foremost, as you've talked about, getting clear on the vision, and putting it out there as part of that?
On my bucket list was to write a number one best-selling business book. There it is.
Yep.
This book ended up, we got contacted by Forbes after I published it, and Forbes asked me to republish it under the Forbes label. And when I agreed to do it, they ended up putting it on the big screen at New York's Times Square.
Wow. Right?
On the bucket list. On the bucket list was to be on the cover of a business magazine. That one took me quite a while. And last year in India, the highest rated business magazine in the country asked me if I would be on the cover. And they gave me the current issue, and Michelle Obama was on the cover. And they did a 6-page story on me in this magazine, right? But if you don't put it out there, it doesn't happen.
If you don't put it out there, and you know, I believe that the more specific you get with your goals and your vision, the more likely it is to actually happen. You know, if it's just kind of broad and generic, like it may, but I think if you get very, very specific, I mean, that's just putting it out there, and you know, the universe or however you want to think of it is going to start to work to make it happen for you.
For sure. Absolutely.
The last thing I wanted to ask you on that note is, and we may have already kind of hit on it, but I mean, any final advice to, you know, anyone that is in a position right now where they don't feel like they're in complete control? And I mean, look, this pandemic's going on. I mean, everyone feels to an extent that there are external things taking control away from them. But, you know, pandemic or not, what advice would you give to someone that they could implement today to start taking better control of their lives and designing their future intentionally?
Yeah, so intentional is a great word. It's aligned with me very well. Many, many people email me and send me notes and say you live a life of intentionality. You know, if the viewer and listener today goes to my website, they'll see my personal goals, right? And as I look at them, it's very sad, because for the first time since I was 13 years old, my goals are not going to get done this year.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get done this year because of a pandemic, right? However, I've pivoted and I've focused and I put other things in lieu of them. So
like your book.
I'm writing the book as an example, and it wasn't on the list of things to get done, right? And so I've got replacement things that are going on. So let me just give this as the advice and the answer to your question.
Okay.
Instead of thinking in such long terms as 1 year out, 3 year out, and I'm still a believer in that, but within the pandemic, what I know is I have control over my day. So operate with a daily plan. Now, when I talk about a daily plan, I say build it the night before.
Yeah.
Think about what you want to get done the next day. Within 30 minutes of going to bed, if you write down what your plan is for the day and operate like a doctor that has appointments all the way through the day, because those guys really are at optimal execution. They've got 3 patients waiting in 3 different rooms, and they've got you waiting out in the lobby for 45 minutes, even though you were there on time. They're not on time, but they're making giant revenue because of it, right?
Yeah.
So operate your daily plan that way, and put it, and your subconscious and sleep will work on optimal execution of your daily plan. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you're ready to go, whereas your competitor is going lazily down to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee. You've got your list, and you're just knocking it off.
And right, and they're like, "Well, what should I do today?"
Things off. More and more momentum is taking place. You get that done. And stay away from the broadcasters and the TV and the news that's telling you all the negativity. They're not controllables. I can't do anything about coronavirus. I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to cure it. I'm not going to find the vaccine. So why am I going to worry about where the spike is and all of that craziness that takes your head out of the game?
Yep.
All I want to do is focus on what I got to get done today. And man, I'm telling you what, my day is loaded with stuff. So I'm watching people on social media talking about, does anybody have a recommendation? I've already peeled through everything on Netflix. And I'm
I know.
I don't have time for Netflix. I'm so damn busy on stuff.
No, I love that. I've talked quite a bit on the podcast with other people and on these Mindset Monday episodes I'm putting out about, you know, focusing on the things that you can control and blocking out the things that are outside of your control. So, I mean, I haven't watched the news really in years, and it's not because I don't want to be educated in what's going on in the world, but it's all just, it's an influx of negativity that is going to take your head out of the game. And, you know, the biggest thing for me as I look at this pandemic is I want to play my part to make sure that we're responsible and not putting other people in danger, all of that. Yes. But, you know, more than anything, I want to be able to look back on this time and know that I did everything in my power to come out stronger on the other side of it and not take a victim mentality and say, well, this is happening and this really sucks and my year's just kind of gone to hell now because of it. What can I do? So I very much aligned with everything that you just said, and I think it was well put.
Yeah, thanks. It's all, you used a great word, Wes, focus. Focus precedes success.
Absolutely. I think that's really good advice is, you know, focusing and really getting intentional about what you want to accomplish. And I think you mentioned something earlier when you were talking about setting goals is not have too many. You know, I think it's easy for people to, you know, set a huge number of goals and then they're kind of just setting themselves up for failure. There's no way that they're going to accomplish all of these things. You know, prioritize, figure out what are the most important things that you want to accomplish. And then you can keep a running list of the other things that you want to accomplish. And as you do start crossing things off the list, you've got something else to replace it.
Yeah. Hey, Kai, I mean, I spend my time mostly with salespeople, right? The better salespeople, they actually call on less people and write more business. The key is they call on the right ones.
That's right.
Too many salespeople call on too many people that don't deserve to be called on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's counterintuitive, but it works.
Yeah, it's focusing your time where, you know, it's your time's an investment, right? How you spend your time's an investment. So same ROI calculation that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
Well, look, you've been very generous with your time. I appreciate it. And I know you've got a lot going on. So I've just got a quick kind of lightning round, a few questions. These are questions that I like to ask everyone that comes on the podcast. So we can kind of run through these real quick. Perfect. And then we'll let you get back to your list of things that you're knocking out. First question on the list is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? And that could be in business or in life.
Yeah, so it's for both. And it was at 13 years old, and it was goals in writing. Very simple.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, when I started writing my goals down, and I read them every morning, I mean, that's been an absolute game changer for me. It's one of those like very small, easy to implement things, but I can look back at that and say that was a turning point for me. So I like that. Next question is, do you have a morning routine? And if so, do you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah. So the morning routine starts the night before, as I just mentioned, by making my goals and understanding what my day looks like before I even go to bed. Because we're going to be working on the execution of it as I'm sleeping. As soon as I get up, I've got my list. The first thing on my list is I got to exercise for at least an hour. It depends on what the day is because I do some rotational type of things.
Okay.
Where I'm rowing at some points and I'm sit-ups at other points and I'm PT at other points. I'm jogging at others. And so there's a variety. And so I'm on my Peloton. And so it's a mix of things. But exercise is a regular staple within the Jack Daly morning. And then it's breakfast. And then it's knock the list out. Plain and simple.
I love it. I love it. Next question. What book are you reading right now?
What you do is who you are. So what we talked about just for a while here is all about your goals and the painted picture and the vision. That stuff's important. But at the end of the day, it's action. What you do is who you are. And so it's all about taking action. Yeah.
Well, that's right, because a vision's great, but if you don't do anything to work towards that vision, it'll never become a reality. Who's the author of that book?
Ben Horowitz.
Okay, great. I'm compiling a list of all the books that my guests are reading, so we'll definitely add that one to it. Final question is, what is your definition of freedom, and are you living it?
So you know that I'm living it. You just know that by virtue of the fact that you and I know each other.
Yep.
But here's freedom for me. Pursuit of what your definition of success is.
Yep.
So freedom is for me to decide what I want to do. Freedom is what I define as success. And every day I'm confronted with people saying, hey, would you like to join up and do this? Well, here's an opportunity here. And I'm like, man, oh man, keep that stuff away from me. I'm in my zone. I have the freedom to decide that. I am living it every day, brother.
I love that, man. And I know that about you. And it's a big part of why I have so much respect for you. So look, thanks again for doing this. This has been amazing. Always good to catch up with you. And I know that everyone listening is just going to get so much out of this. I know we've talked a little bit about your websites and some of your other resources, but just quickly tell everyone listening in where they can hear more from you, learn more about everything that you teach, and find some of your resources.
Yeah, so easiest thing was jackdailysales.com, and daily is D-A-L-Y.
Yep.
You know, YouTube, you punch my name in and it's going to come up with that. And, you know, again, that's free. I would tell people when you go to my website, don't overlook the Get Jacked magazines. They're 32 pages in length. There's four magazines out there. You can virtually download those for free. And so, you know, it's all about, at this stage of my life, it's all about making a difference, a positive difference in the world, and watching my clients grow, their income grow, their businesses grow, and their quality of life grow. And that's my pay. That's the psychic value.
Well, and I can tell you what, man, you are making a huge impact. So again, thank you for everything that you're doing. Keep doing it. Glad you're healthy. And we'll link your website, your YouTube channel, and all that in the show notes so people can easily find it. So again, thank you for dropping in with us today. Really appreciate it, Jack.
Absolutely. Stay healthy, Wes.
Yes, sir. You too. Thanks for dropping in with me on this episode of the Path to Freedom podcast. I hope you got a ton of value and learned something new. And if you did, please make sure to subscribe and follow the Path to Freedom podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also, please share with someone else that may also get value from it. And if you're interested in learning more about how you can take steps to getting into business for yourself, I'd love to speak with you. Connect with me online at pathtofreedom.com. That's path, the number two, FRDM.com, or shoot me an email at wes@pathtofreedom.com, spelled the same way. And if you know anyone else that may be interested in speaking with me, I'd love to meet them. Please forward this podcast along to them and encourage them to reach out. Thanks again for joining me today, and I'll see you next time. Now go drop in.